Greetings, cows! How are you feeling today? Are you feeling like everybody else? Have you figured out that this is really what those who really run things want you to do? They want you to be like everybody else. They want you to be able to go into a nice slot so that when they market to the people in your little slot, you'll react exactly how they want you to. You'll go out and buy their product. Or you'll go out and vote Republican or Democrat. Or you'll go out and behave this way or that way. Isn't it amazing? You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilus. I'm Jay Nemro, and this is part 5. I think we've almost gone beyond child development, but I'm calling it the child development series. It's part 5 of it. Here we are. Yikes. It never ends. Just before we ended there on part 4, we were talking about the well-rounded person and about how bad the well-rounded person is. Aren't you glad that, say, for instance, Tiger Woods, who is extremely good at golf, aren't you glad that he's not a very particularly well-rounded person? Aren't you glad that he doesn't spend 8 hours of his day doing something besides golf because he's trying to make sure that he's well-rounded? Aren't you glad? Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't care about golf. I really don't. I just happen to pick him out of my head. But see, isn't it great to have people who are amazing? What about Lance Armstrong? Aren't you glad that he bikes like... Aren't you glad he's won the Tour de France every single flipping time he's been in it? Well, he's retired now. He might come back. Who knows? Aren't you glad for people like that? When you look at Olympians, you know, the people who are in the Olympics, the strongest and the best, do you think those people spend sizable amounts of time working on things they're not good at? They might have to do that in order to perfect a routine in what, like let's say if it's a skating routine, there might be parts of it they're not good at that they work on. Nobody's saying you should totally ignore all of your bad side and only embrace your good side. Sometimes we have to be able to do 2 or 3 things. But let me tell you, aren't you glad that those ice skaters spend day after day after day after day after day only working on ice skating? That's all they do. That's the consumption of their lives. Aren't you glad that they don't spend a lot of time in, like, say, the public school, for instance? Aren't you glad they go to either a private school that says, oh, screw it, you just go ahead and skate, or they're homeschooled where they say my entire curriculum is ice skating and I just lie to the authorities to tell them that? Aren't you glad that that's true? Because you get to see the beauty and the grace, and you get to say, and they're winning that for my country. Isn't it great that we can produce these kind of people? If the public schools and the child development practitioners and those in power had their way, we wouldn't have those people. They would be staring at their shoes, worried about the things that they aren't good at. And they would be concentrating on those. They'd be concentrating all their time on that. They'd be angry and upset because they're tired of the fact that they suck at everything they do, because the only thing we let them do is what they're bad at. Well, we let them do something they're good at. But that's not the program for schools. Schools are a part of our culture. So are child development centers. That's why we count into this. Our society has bent every will, especially when it comes to children, on remediation and toward this wonderful goal that every child is going to be well-rounded. They're going to have a smattering of lots of different subjects. They're going to be reasonably good at all of them. At least average. The fact that you're good at something really has no meaning, has no context for them. They already know everything you're supposed to have to be an average person. They've already worked it out. They've already worked out all the classes you're supposed to take. And they only give you very little time to make small decisions for yourself. Right? We call them electives. You get to choose those, but often they don't have anything to do with what you're interested in. And school is only really worthwhile for people who have interests, and what person doesn't have personal interests? They're only good for that if your interests tend to fall almost exactly along the lines of a core subject. I'm interested, see, and it's gotten to the point to where we almost don't have a way to talk about interests that fall outside of, say, the core curriculum of education, which, strangely enough, throughout the entire United States, is uniform. There's no place you can go to where something's more important than another. You'll always have English. You'll always have math. You'll always have reading, at least the lower grades. You'll have science, all those things. And when kids talk about their interests, they always couch it in those terms, don't they? Well, I do best in English. I'm interested in English, so naturally, when they think about their future, if they don't have aspirations to be much of anything at all, you already know what they're going to say. My aspiration is to be fill in the blank of the subject that you're best at, teacher. I'm good at English, so I'm studying to be an English teacher. I'm good at science, so I'm studying to be a science teacher. Yada, 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 yada. All of a sudden you figure out that this is really the way it's going to be. The only people they have to look at for role models for 6 hours a day, besides their parents and besides what they may see on TV, are teachers. You know, teachers are the nice people that they see every day. They tend to do better in courses that are taught by teachers they like, or teachers that are cool, to use a phrase. So they're attracted to that. I'll be honest, when I was finishing up high school, the person I respected most was a microbiologist. So I took a class in microbiology. I wasn't very interested in it particularly. But my goal was to be a microbiologist. I wanted to be like that person. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but it certainly goes along with the herd culture now, doesn't it? It sounds like something somebody would do who didn't have anything else in life. You know, well, I'll just pick something out of midair. I'm going to take somebody who I respect, and I'm going to do what they did. And sometimes it might have a little bit to do with some skill you have. Most of the time, it just has to do with, well, I've got to come up with something. This sounds good. I'll be a microbiologist. I took that one class, and a year later, I had started with a microbiology major. I changed to physics because I didn't know what on earth I was going to do. Then I changed it. I think I changed it to English because I was actually good at that and I enjoyed that. I enjoy writing and I have written. I'm actually a published writer, believe it or not. You can go on the internet to quix.us, to the website quix.us, and take a look at the stuff I've written. The Miracle of the Quilt is published. Not published very widely, that's for sure, but it was published. Someday I'll get some gumption and I'll put it back out, and maybe we can publish it again. Short stories, there's really no market for short stories anymore. Nobody publishes short stories, which is what it was. Anyway, you know, we tend to fart around. And why? Well, honestly, it's because we've never been allowed to actually, number one, discover what we're really good at. We're given some categories and school that they think are the most important, and from there we can choose kind of based on what our grades have been or how difficult it was for us. We can basically choose what we're good at, and if we don't have a lot of self-esteem, which is a hallmark of schools, is destroying your self-image, because that's important. They kind of learned that from the military. The most important thing about the military in getting a whole bunch of people to behave the way you want them to is to destroy their individuality, to destroy whatever self-image they have of themselves. Here's what I am, to turn them into a we type of thing, to make them into a coherent group that works together, that relies on each other, is to rip them apart first. It's a very known military tactic. That's what boot camp is basically for, is to destroy you. as an individual, and your rebirth as the member of a squad, a team, whatever. That's basically what it's there for. That's why kids who in school were part of team sports have a strong tendency to go into military, because it has a lot of the same facets to it. That whole thing about teamwork, I'm part of a team, yada yada yada. You don't see that from the captain of your football team, from your prima donnas, your all stars, your head cheerleader, stuff like that. You don't see those kind of behaviors. They're not team people. They may play on a team, but they aren't team people. It's all about them. That's why they go on to be captains of industry. They go on to private schools. They go to West Point, where they immediately get it put on the fast track to being a leader in the military, as opposed to a grunt, squad member, squad leader, stuff like that. See that our culture has a lot to do with the military. We have a very militaristic culture, and it's interesting. It's also interesting how we deal. We're trying to generate a whole bunch of squad members and maybe squad leaders, because you're going to need some of those that are pulled out of ranks. Other than that, we really only need a few generals. We only need a few thought leaders, as they call them. So, there you go. Okay. Well-rounded generates nice grunts to work in your corporation, to shuffle the paperwork, to get blown up on the battlefield, to just fill in a raw number. We've got 15 million recruits in the military, yada, 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 yada. What are those people? They are the people that performed exactly as expected in school. They are the expendable people. You can take them out, and their parents will mourn them. The president will say a prepared statement that sounds all very nice. And that's it. You know, they did their duty. They did their job. They're an American hero. Yay! And they'll say that about the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy, which is really meaningless, you know. They try to say it to make their parents feel better, so they want to encourage the rest of their kids to go in the military so they can be blown up, too, for political gain, for the powers that be. I'm sorry, am I revealing too much about this? You'd think I'm a flaming liberal, and I'm not. I'm actually more libertarian. I just want freedom. I want freedom people to be able to do what they want without having to be coerced. Anyway. All right. That's your well-rounded people. Now let me tell you about what I think that we could really use. Now this would totally destroy our culture, our society. You can probably tell, because I'm a supporter of this, that I couldn't give a flip about society or our culture. I think that the world would be a better place if those two things both changed pretty radically. I think, in a large sense, God is much more interested in our personal development as opposed to our integration into a society or a culture, and that we fit the culture, you know, according to what the culture thinks is important. I don't do that. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in having people all dressed the same, going after little trinkets. You know, the little awards here and there to hang up on your wall to say, look at me, look at what fantastic things I did. For being a culture that's so worried about making sure that we have a lot of sameness going on, it's interesting to see how we give little trinkets out to people to try to keep them in the system, try to tell them how great they are, when we're actually trying to make them as mediocre as we possibly can, so that they don't upset the powers that be. Spiky! Are you a spiky person? I wish you were. I wish you were a spiky person. I wish that was what you were up to, what you were doing. That would make me happy. Let's talk about spiky people for a moment. I talked before in either podcast 3 or 4 about Einstein. Einstein, as far as I'm aware, most people I really respect, have been pretty spiky people. They have a couple of things, maybe two or three, four or five even, that they're good at. I know something funny. I'll talk. Well, let's get back to it later. It's about talents. You know, God. I'm a Mormon. I read the Bible. I talk about God. I'm talking about a Christian God. In the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, talks about the parable of the talents. People talk about all this stuff about it. Interesting. Whether it talks about money or it talks about your individual skills. Stuff like that. We'll talk about that a little bit later in relationship to being spiky. That you need to work on your talents. We'll get back to that. Maybe that'll be number six. We'll just talk almost exclusively about some implications of the parable of the talents in the Bible. Because I think it's very, very telling. And I think Christ is trying to tell us something that I don't think we ever got. That we don't understand. That we're too easily beset with our philosophy, our culture, our society, that we're unwilling to listen to what Christ might have actually said about some of these things. Anyway, okay, let's talk about spiky for a minute. To be really good at two or three different things, you know what? If you're really good at something, and you can find a job doing that, something that you're really good at, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make more money. Because people get paid a premium for doing what they're really good at. It's just an honest fact. They don't pay you for being well-rounded. I had a very interesting example of that. I work for a university. I work for a college in a university. The college dean, I finally got a chance to actually hear him speak. I've seen pictures of him. I've seen the things he's written. He's quite a good writer. I finally got to hear one of his speeches, and it was awful. I don't mean what he said was awful. His speaking style was awful. And the funny thing is, as a dean of a college, of a major university, he probably speaks quite a bit. He speaks a lot. It's one of the major parts of his job. And I was wondering, sitting there, saying, why on earth is he the dean of this college and this prestigious university? Why is that? Because he obviously stinks at speaking. He needs to get somebody to just sit down with him and say, you need to put a little life into it, you know? Snappy, come on, man. He couldn't do it. You know, he must, and then I said, he must be so amazingly good at something else. He must be fantastic at other assets that are required for being a dean to make up for the fact that he's the lousiest speaker I think I've ever encountered. Now that's an overstatement. I haven't encountered a lot of people that speak, but, you know, he certainly wasn't anywhere among the good. Anyway, in spite of his problems, like poor speaking, he had a very prestigious job. He made a lot of money. And he had a lot of prestige, a lot of stuff. He had a high position. People respected him. Why? I don't think it was because of how hard he had worked on speaking skills. I really don't. I don't think he got the job because of his speaking skills, because I could have had that job easily above him. And I don't even have a PhD. He must have been good. He must have been spiky because he was bad at some things. He must have been amazing at other things. Or is it something? I don't know. I really don't know him well enough to know. But that's the way it is. That's how he probably got that, because it's something that the college really valued. That's what got him this job. So think about that. Think about spiky. Stuff like that. Is this program 5? I think it is. I think next time, program 6, we're going to talk about a few other things. I don't know. No, I think it's going to be last one. Okay, there's going to be no more on the subject of child development. If I do another one on the parable of the talents in the Bible, it won't be in this particular thing. It'll be more along the lines of talents, because we're not really talking about child development anymore. We're talking about life. Plus, the time's nearly up. It's been fun. It's been great. I hope you enjoyed this series of podcasts. I hope it wasn't too much to try to absorb all at once. You have to understand that I'm not sitting here with notes in my hand. This stuff's coming right off the top of my head, doing the best I can, because I'm in a car, and actually sitting in my my driveway right now, finishing this up so I can go inside and see my family again. So, anyway, I hope everything goes well. Guy, don't be a cow. Don't just follow other people because they say so. I hope you don't just follow me. I hope you think about this. If nothing else, I hope you're saying, "Dad, you're a stupid idiot, and here's why." Because as soon as you spell out those things of why you disagree with me, you are starting to assert yourself. Hopefully you're not just spouting a party line. Hopefully you put a little more thought into it. And that, those are the times when you actually become your own person, when you can say, you know, I really believe the things that I think, because I can actually articulate them. That's the most important thing. That's your first step in not being a cow anymore. And that's exactly what I want you never to be. Don't be a cow. Don't follow somebody else's rear end just because it's out in front of you. Do your own thing. This is Jay Nemiro. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. Come see us on the internet. Quix, Quix .us. Have a great day. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your life. Be yourself.